This is Ottawa at Work with Patricia Bull on News Talk 580 CFRA and the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
10:06 on News Talk 580 CFRA. Good Friday morning to you. It is Friday. We have made it to the last day of the work week. It's another rainy one out there. Showers, some drizzle, although mostly cloudy conditions right at the moment, 9 degrees, but potential for some showers throughout the day today. The weekend looks a little better with some peaks of sunshine. Still a chance of showers tomorrow. Mix of sun and cloud and 11 on your Sunday, 10 degrees, the forecast high for tomorrow. But today, getting all the way up to 15 on your Friday. Lots to talk about here this morning. Let's get to it.
Patricia's top three.
Patricia's top three. Before noon.
Rush hour used to be at a certain time. Now it's all the time.
We are hopeful that it'll be a strong season for biking. Scooters, and then there's also the LRT.
Did follow up with the people who pulled the bear out of the tree. We did confront them on site that day.
Total selfishness.
Story one.
Well, if you regularly use the eastbound Queensway or live in the Parkdale area, things are about to get even tighter traffic-wise. We know it's already a bit of a mess through there, with vehicles lining up on Parkdale to get on the Queensway on a regular basis. Starting on April 28th and lasting right through the summer until August 25th, the eastbound on-ramp at Parkdale will be closed. The closures are coming to replace some retaining walls and noise barriers there and enhance the infrastructural integrity. Jim McHugh has lived next to that ramp for over two decades and says he's used to the noise, but the changes are long overdue.
Rush hour used to be at a certain time. Now it's all the time.
We don't hear the traffic anymore after 25 years. The only thing we hear are the motorcycles down there, and they're back. We've been waiting for these walls to be replaced because these walls aren't very effective for the sound. And we want to have the sound barriers on the ramp also. That's more important than up there for us.
It's an interesting area if you can picture it, and I use that on-ramp on a regular basis. The houses on Parkdale are lined up right almost smack up to the Queensway, and you can just imagine what the noise is there. So they're saying these changes are welcome, but it's going to be a bit of a nightmare to deal with through the summer. Now, the off-ramp there will also be closed until mid-May, starting on April 29th. This ultimately leaves a fairly significant downtown or center town chunk without highway access and poses the risk of a whole lot of congestion on thoroughfares through that Parkdale area. Jason Forst is with the Wellington West BIA, worries about the closures and how traffic could impact local businesses in that area.
It's going to be a challenge for our businesses to get traffic. We are hopeful that it'll be a strong season for biking, scooters, and then there's also the LRT. That won't necessarily mitigate the challenges, but it'll help to kind of alleviate some of it.
The route is also a key path for paramedics to access the Civic campus of the Ottawa Hospital, which is right in that neighborhood, of course. So Marc-Antoine Deschamps with paramedics says they are making some adjustments.
Our unit responding from the Civic Hospital will have to take a detour. However, this is taken into consideration, and we have other paramedic posts in the area that could be more appropriate and able to respond without causing any delays.
The local councillor for the area, Jeff Leeper, acknowledging there is a kind of a mixed bag of outcomes here. And he says maybe you want to start looking at the situation a little bit more closely and start planning ahead.
I know for some residents, they're looking forward to it because it will probably make Parkdale a little quieter for a while. But I know for some other residents, they're not going to be able to get onto the eastbound Queensway until Metcalf. So a little more inconvenience there, and just make sure you're planning for that when you are heading eastbound.
And we have a text coming in on that right now. Jamie saying there'll be no eastbound on-ramp all the way from Carlin Kirkwood to Isabella Metcalf. It's a big chunk for sure. This all kicks off April 28th. Plan ahead. Good luck.
Story two.
We want to talk about this as well. Bill was talking about that new paintball system, how great it would be if you could install that in your house and have another way to deter thieves. I don't imagine that's coming to a Canadian neighborhood near you anytime. But here is the situation in Ottawa. Some updated figures out from Ottawa police on car thefts across the capital so far in 2024. And the numbers still on the rise. To date, there have been 560 vehicle thefts in 2024. 68 of those were in April alone. For comparison, in 2023, there were 504 car thefts between January and June. And in 2022, that number was down to 387. So we are almost double that number, and we are not as far into the year as yet. The worst area in the city for car thefts is Bay Ward, which has 54 total thefts. The next closest is Gloucester Southgate with 38, Rideau Vanier with 34, and Beacon Hill Sirville with 33 vehicle thefts. Back in March, Councillor Teresa Cavanaugh indicated several thefts in Bay Ward could be attributed to delivery drivers leaving their keys in the vehicle while it's running. At least one vehicle has been reported stolen in each Ottawa ward so far this year. So there's no escaping this problem in Ottawa. We continue to hear interesting and excellent suggestions about what people are doing to protect themselves. But when will the attempts by various levels of government and our police services catch up with some of what is going on and start to mitigate the problem?
Story three.
And we wanted to take just a moment to talk about something that was being clicked on consistently all day yesterday on our CTV website and into this morning as well. In North Carolina, a weird incident, and there is video, involving a crowd of people and a bear cub. Video from earlier this week shows a group finding a bear cub in a tree, pulling it out of the tree, chasing it around to pick it up, and then proceeding to take selfies with it. Almost exactly the opposite of what you are told you should do should you ever encounter a bear cub. The incident has gone viral in media coverage with frustration for how this group is treating the animal. The cub in the video is shown alone, though apparently there were others before this individual cub was ultimately separated. Ashley Hobbs with Wildlife North Carolina responded to the incident alongside a police officer and says the behavior of the group was out of line.
Pretty traumatic to be pulled out of a tree like that. We did follow up with the people who pulled the bear out of the tree. We did confront them on site that day. We let them know how irresponsible and potentially deadly it could be for that cub to be separated from its mom.
You're always told if you see a bear cub, the mom has to be nearby. You don't want to approach it, let alone pull it out of a tree and take a selfie with it. Now, the former director of Help Asheville Bears in Asheville, North Carolina, Jody Williams, is shown getting tense himself just watching that happen on the video. He says the people pictured have taken the wrong message from trying to live alongside wildlife with that kind of behavior.
Super, super high anxiety. I feel bad for the cubs. I feel bad for the ignorance of those people. Total selfishness. This is not what we talk about when we talk about coexisting.
The two of them say they hope this can prove to be a learning opportunity on how to engage with wildlife and particularly what not to do. All for the selfie. And our bonus in the top three this morning, we got to remind you, we're not talking about this for 2 hours. Someone texted saying, not 2 hours of talk, but we are going to take a few minutes to talk about why this music release was so significant. Have a listen. That's a little taste of Fortnite by Taylor Swift featuring Post Malone in that one, a double album released by Taylor at midnight. There were some outages on Spotify as people were trying to get at that music. Why? Why, when she says she's releasing an album, is there such a reaction to it? What is the magic of it? Not this hour, but next hour, we're going to talk to a couple of Swifties and try to break down just why they feel what they feel and respond to this music the way we do. Well, coming up, we're going to look to fix up some items maybe that you have lying around your house. We've talked to these people before. This is a really, really cool way to reuse, recycle, and repair. The Repair Cafe series is back at City Hall with an event tomorrow. We're going to get into that in just a moment. This is Ottawa at Work.
On Ottawa at Work with Patricia Bull. Text 580-580 right now.
1021 on News Talk 580 CFRA. Good morning. Happy Friday to you. Hope you're having a good one so far. Mostly cloudy out there right now. 9 degrees. We do have a chance of some showers or drizzle. Another gray day, somewhat similar to yesterday, but probably not quite the intense rain that we had for part of the day yesterday. On our way to 15 degrees. We have a little bit more sunshine on the way for the weekend. Monday, looking beautiful right now, 13 degrees. And mostly sunny on Monday. We want to talk about this. We talked about this before last year, I think, when these were happening. And I thought, what a cool and innovative idea to do something like this. It's innovative, and yet it's a throwback, really, to a bygone era when all of us used to have someone in the family, in the house, who knew how to fix things up, to sew on buttons, to repair clothing, to fix a shoe. My dad was a master with the duct tape, so we didn't buy new stuff at home. Everything was just duct taped to within an inch of its existence. But we've lost a bit of that skill, despite the fact that we are in a time when emphasis is consistently on the environment and reusing and how full our landfills are and whatnot. So I like this. This is called the 2024 Repair Cafe Series, and it starts this Saturday at City Hall. Kendra Hoskins is on the line, Outreach and Communications Coordinator, Public Works, City of Ottawa. Good morning to you, Kendra.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Hi, thank you so much for being here. And can you just remind us exactly what the Repair Cafe is that the city is hosting?
Absolutely. So repair cafes are an opportunity for residents to bring in an item that can be fixed by volunteer fixers and menders. So this ranges from anything to electronics, clothing, small appliances, jewelry, you name it. Residents can bring in one item and they will have a volunteer who tries to fix it. And this directly keeps items out of the landfill. So it's a wonderful initiative and obviously builds community as well. And what's really interesting is that volunteers from Ottawa Tool Library will also show the residents what they are doing and kind of teach skills in the process. So it's a wonderful community building event.
All right. Love it. And a wonderful event that gets some credit going the direction of Bettina Vollmerhausen, who joins us as well, co-founder and executive director. Good morning to you.
Yes, good morning.
Why is this really important to you?
The Ottawa Tool Library was founded on the principle of sharing resources so that we don't all need to buy things and own them, that we share them. It's better for the economy. It's better for our personal economy, our pocketbooks, for the environment in particular. And with it comes a very clear keeping things in circulation as well as keeping things repaired so we can use them for a long time and they don't end in the landfill unnecessarily. So when we heard about Repair Cafe movement that came out of the Netherlands in 2015, then we thought, oh, we got to bring this to Ottawa. This is amazing. And so our first Repair Cafe was held in 2017 and we've been going strong ever since.
And give me a sense of some of the items or questions or requests people come in with when they're wanting to fix or repair something.
Yes. So we've now by now fixed over 1,000 items easily. And the majority of items that do come through the repair cafes are about 62% electronics and small appliances. So people bring in their toasters, their hair dryers, their curling irons. We've seen really funny items like, you know, the Christmas ornaments of reindeers on the front lawn that have lights on them. Someone actually came and brought that in last time because the lights weren't working anymore. These are all items that, you know, sometimes have a very small piece that needs repairing, but we don't have the skills. And unfortunately, there's also no longer that small economy of fixes where you could get things fixed and get them repaired.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really a dying art at a time when we need it maybe more than ever. And go ahead.
Yeah, it absolutely, I just wanted to agree with it. It is. And we're actually always looking for younger people who want to learn the skill because we by now have established fixes. And for the most part, they're really older. These are people who've either grown up with that mindset of let's keep fixing things or buy good quality items, fix them, keep them for a long time. And the newer generations need to become aware of that, right? And there really is, I do feel, a paradigm shift happening. It's somewhat slowly, but that's why we're doing those things to make people aware that we do need to do this for our planet. What's happening with environmental change, climate change, it's really making people think, wow, what can I do to do something that helps our planet and to support us?
So you're saying the people who are the fixers who are doing the work for you right now, that most of them are maybe slightly older, and it's about training some younger people to pick up these skills and continue with that and pass it along?
It is, actually. And there's some really great stories. So we've had a volunteer at the tool library who was a tool librarian with us and then heard about repair cafes, and he goes, oh, I would love to learn how to fix things. I don't know how to fix anything. But he was really adept at sort of picking things up quickly and definitely had one of those sort of mechanical engineering mindsets. And he is now an incredible, renowned person, actually, in our little community of fixing sewing machines. So he has made it his plan. He by now like is a knowledgeable person about sewing machines, and at our repair cafes he taught himself how to sew, got into the community of sewing, and then actually learned how to fix them as well. So he is there as a younger person. He's in his mid-20s, and it's really great to see that younger generation coming out and learning those skills as well.
Kendra, were you surprised at how popular the repair cafes were right from the beginning?
Not surprised. I think there's a huge need for this. We're all looking for ways that we can reduce our waste. And I think ultimately people want to do things that keep things out of the landfill. And also we all want to save money as well. So if you can go get an item fixed opposed to having to replace it, it's kind of a win-win. So I wasn't surprised. I think it's a perfect complement to the city's waste diversion programs, the Blue, Black, and Green Bin program, because in addition to waste diversion, we really need to reduce our waste. We all have to do our piece in that. And I'm not surprised that people want to have a positive impact and also save a little bit of money in the process.
It's actually free at the Repair Cafe?
It is completely free.
Nice. All right, so the first one, and there's a series of them, but it starts on Saturday, April 20th, and it's right at Jean Piggott Place, right at City Hall.
That's right, yes. Saturday at tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. it starts.
All right, excellent. Thank you so much. I'll read off the list of the others for anyone who wants to drop down or get involved, and they can jump online as well. My thanks to both of you, Kendra and Bettina, for being here.
Thank you so much.
It is Repair Cafe. So again, the first one, Saturday, April 20th, sponsored by the City of Ottawa. It is from 10 to 2. And then May 11th at the Jim Durrell Recreation Center, there is a Repair Cafe. On Saturday, June 22nd at the Ray Friel Recreation Complex. That's on 10th Line Road. Out in Barrhaven on Saturday, October 5th at the Walter Baker Sports Center. All of these from 10 to 2, by the way. And on Saturday, November 30th, Tony Graham Recreation Complex in Kanata. 10 to 2, Repair Cafe, free repairs of electronics, clothing, small appliances, jewelry, and more. You can learn some new skills, maybe enjoy some coffee and a snack, and meet your neighbors. Talk about a win, win, win. Coming up to 10:30 here on News Talk 580 CFRA. Coming up, we're going to have a look at the NHL matchups, which Canadian teams are playing whom, and who has the best chance of going the distance. I might have to talk about the Leafs just very, very briefly this morning as well. We're going to talk movies on a Friday. I hope you can stick around for that. This is Ottawa at Work.
This is Ottawa at Work with Patricia Bull on News Talk 580 CFRA and the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Here comes Buckley into the offensive zone, over to the far side. Long shot, Griffin, blocker save, they score. Torrance has it bounce in, and it's 4-1 Oshawa with 47.2 seconds remaining in the second period.
Just firing all kinds of stuff at you. You have to digest it this morning. Are we talking NHL? Are we talking OHL? What are we talking about? We're talking about playoff hockey in a city that now has no playoff hockey unless the women come through for us, which we'll be hoping. The Ottawa 67s ended it last night after a wonderful first round. They're out in four games. In the second round, falling to the Oshawa Generals. So now we got to start talking about NHL playoffs. AJ Jakubek is on the line from TSN 1200. Good morning, AJ.
Good morning, Patricia.
You took in a little 67s action last night.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, obviously not the result, but always enjoy playoff hockey. And from, not too much of it in this city this year, unfortunately. I thought they played really well in the last series against Brantford. pulling off the 6-3 upset, but against the number one seed in Oshawa. The Generals really came on at the end of the year. They won 12 in a row in the regular season and looked like a team that was just firing on all cylinders at the right time. Ottawa probably just too many penalties in this series, and Oshawa, their top line, was really firing from the outset. So, and great goaltending from an Ottawa native and Jacob Oster as well. So Generals a better team, and unfortunately, yeah, there's three. I got three ways, though. If you want to have your hockey fix between now and the end of the season, you nailed one with the PWHL. Three more regular season games left, including tomorrow night at home against Minnesota at TD Place. CCHL final game one tonight in Navin. Smith Falls taking on the grads there. And the U15 AAA Provincials. There's two teams taking part there, Myers and the Ottawa Valley Titans, and that goes through Sunday in Stittsville. And that's pretty much your hockey fix locally till the end of the year. But the good news is a lot of playoff hockey to watch on television starting tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. I was waiting as he got through U15 if you were going to jump to the Senators there. But oh no, Steve Staios talking right now that season is obviously over very early once again, out of the playoffs. The Habs not in the playoffs either. But there is a number of Canadian teams that we can talk about. I am on the record as saying that I would rather have anyone but the Leafs hoist the Stanley Cup, despite the fact that a lot of people are like, we just want it to be a Canadian team this year. But I think there is a solid chance that it could potentially be a Canadian team that goes the distance. Let's start with the Leafs, because the NHL will be starting with the Leafs when that series gets underway on a Saturday night. Maple Leafs playing the Bruins. What are you feeling about their chances to surprise everyone this year?
Yeah, and I'm with you. Anybody but Toronto. I'd love to see the drought end because it's 31 years, and when it gets to 31 years, I don't think this is just any kind of fluke. I do think Canadian teams, unfortunately, are at a bit of a disadvantage competitively, just because of whether it's tax rates, whether it's no trade lists that a number of veteran players might put a lot of Canadian teams on those lists. So I would love to see it end if it was a team out west like Vancouver, Winnipeg, or Edmonton. But I think the Leafs.
You're a Westerner.
Yeah, well, Vancouver is a bit of a tougher one to swallow because those teams from 13 years ago with they had Max Lapierre and they had Ryan Kessler and they had Alex Burrows, who was a Senator briefly, but they weren't the most likable team in NHL history. But I feel like these Canucks are, and Winnipeg, Edmonton. I mean, I'd love to see Winnipeg just get one for that city. And Edmonton, I like seeing the best players win. And Connor McDavid's the best player in the game. You can argue for McDavid, McKinnon, Matthews, Kucherov this year. It's going to be a great Hart Trophy race. But to me, I just want to see the best players in all sports win. Mm-hmm. And to me right now, that's McDavid. But
yeah, I was going to say on that, like you hear a Brady Tkachuk, captain of the Ottawa Senators, say yesterday, you know, I've been in this for several years now, 6 years, won nothing, never had a playoff experience. I'm sick and tired of it. And for those Edmonton fans who have this, and I got to see Connor McDavid up close for the first time this year. We were down really close to the ice when Edmonton was here, which was a great game that Ottawa actually ended up winning, but still the top skilled players from Edmonton put on quite a clinic before that happened. And you think for those fans, when you have those names in your lineup and you're watching them do what they do every single night, if not now, when, right? They want this team to finally have the success it feels like, as you look at it on paper and on the ice, it deserves.
Yeah, and I think for the fans, it all depends on what vintage you are. I mean, if you're 45 plus like myself and grew up there, you're probably one of the luckiest hockey fans in the history of the planet, given the fact that you grew up watching five Stanley Cups in the 80s and early 90s and all those great Hall of Famers led by Wayne Gretzky. And
is that where Gretzky played? Hadn't heard.
Yeah, maybe did okay there.
Yeah.
But now they've got McDavid and Draisaitl, and they've been fortunate to have two of the best players in the game play there at the same time again for almost a decade. But you're right. I mean, there's potential questions about where they're going to play beyond their contracts. I mean, McDavid's got 2 years left. Draisaitl's is up in a year. So you don't know what they're going to do, but sometimes you also don't know exactly how long they're going to be there. And those questions are going to come up whether they win or not in this offseason, at least with Draisaitl, as he's 1 year out from free agency, and that's when they can start renegotiating a contract. So I do think they got a break last night with Vegas losing and LA winning, because Edmonton Vegas in round one would have been a real difficult series to pick. I still would have liked the Oilers, but I always feel like if you're going to win a Stanley Cup, to win four rounds, you need one series to go four or five. And if it was Vegas, Vancouver, say, who they've had a lot of trouble with, they didn't beat them all year, and now you got to play whoever's from that other division. That's three tough teams just to get out of the West. Now I feel they know how to handle LA. LA plays a bit of a boring system, 1-3-1. They frustrate a lot of teams, but they beat LA in the playoffs the last couple of years. So I do like the Oilers at least to win round one, but the West is stacked from top to bottom.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's flip back to the East then for just a moment, and we'll try to talk as neutrally as we can about the Toronto Maple Leafs and their chances. You mentioned the 31-year drought for Canadian teams. The drought, as we know, for the Leafs and their fans is significantly longer. This is a really talented roster of players as well. We've had some very successful regular seasons and consistently some earlier exits in the playoffs, although they have been a playoff team for the last several years. Are they poised to finally sort of throw off that the jinx or the curse or whatever you want to describe it as, and maybe make some new history? And as people say, you know, we need some new jokes around here. Is it time for the Leafs to finally do it?
Well, they've got to get rid of the first curse, and that's the Boston Bruins, who have had their number in the last decade, including, and I get a lot of the same players aren't there. There's still a few for Boston that are there, like Brad Marchand, but, you know, they lost to the Bruins in 2014 in heartbreaking fashion when they blew a 4-1 lead in Game 7. They've lost to them a couple of times in recent years with more of the same familiar faces on both teams that are still around. So that's going to be step one. I like the Bruins in the series because of their goaltending, but I do think it's a close series. The problem for Toronto is if you get out of this series and then you got to play the Florida Panthers, and I don't love how they match up there. So I guess if there is an upset, a couple of upsets, and both they and Tampa Bay win. I kind of like their team better than Tampa Bay, and they got past the Lightning last year. But to think that this team, the question is for the Leafs. They've added a lot of physical pieces kind of beyond their core, but it's about their core. How much is Austin Matthews going to step up come playoff time, and Mitch Marner and William Nylander, who had a great playoff last year, when they got to the second round. So those are the key guys. John Tavares is another guy, and he's kind of on the back nine of his career now and not playing as good a hockey as he was, say, 5-6 years ago. So
only 69 goals for Austin Matthews this year. Already a bit of a disappointment there, I think. Couldn't get seven. We're going to have to wrap it up because we got to talk movies. But just before I let you go, which Canadian team, if you had to pick one, which Canadian team the most likely to go the distance this year?
I'll say Edmonton. I just think because of their top players, I think they've learned how to play a better defensive game. I'm still not 100% sold on their goaltending, but if I was picking a Stanley Cup winner from Canada, it's Edmonton. Dallas would be probably the toughest team that they would have to beat, because I love Dallas. They've got everything, goaltending, defense, depth, scoring, and it would be a great story to see Joel Pavelski win. What a great career he's had as well. So Dallas and Edmonton, two teams I like out of the West, and Florida's a team I like in the East.
All right, AJ, thank you. So many great stories. So much good watching in the first round when there's a plethora of games every night. I love it. AJ Jakubek from TSN 1200. That Leafs-Bruins series gets underway tomorrow, Saturday night at 8 o'clock. Movies next. This is Ottawa at Work.
Where players dash with skates of flash, the home team trails behind. But they grab the puck and go bursting up, and they're down across the line. They storm the crease like bumblebees, they travel like a burning flame. We see them slide the puck inside, it's a 1-1 hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best.
Action!
You're listening to Ottawa at Work with Patricia Bull on News Talk 580 CFRA and the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Spend 7:52 on News Talk 580 CFRA. Good Friday morning. Hope you're having a good one. It's a bit of a rainy day again, the kind of day that makes you think about maybe watching a movie this weekend, and certainly not the kind of day that makes me think about watching a horror movie, but maybe that's what you like. Petey Beats is on the line, a.k.a. Peter Ameliotis, with the Popternative. Good morning to you.
Good morning. You know, every time I get the call, it just seems to be there's always a horror movie coming out when I get to speak with you. It's a sign, Patricia.
You're not doing this to me on purpose. This is just what's out there.
I mean, it's like three times that it's happened and I've been on the show, and thank you for having me. It's always a horror movie. It just seems to be like that.
Well, hopefully it's not a horror show here today as we chat. A lot of huge fans of horror out there, including my son, who loves them. So let's take a look and see what your picks are out of these two new ones. There's another movie that's out there as well that maybe we'll chat about that I've heard really good things about. But let's start with this one. This is Abigail.
See you in 24 hours.
Do you know what a pinky promise is? If you behave and do as we say, like Pinky promise you, it'll all be over soon.
Joey?
Yeah?
I'm sorry about what's gonna happen to you.
What the f***?
We gotta get out of here.
I think she knows something.
This looks like the old, if you've seen it once, you've seen them a million times, kidnap a 12-year-old, and she turns out to be a vampire.
Yeah, basically, this one's in theaters today. And it's exciting because this one, everyone that loves horror movies was really excited for this one because it comes from the production company Radio Silence, who made the recent Scream movies and Ready or Not. So everyone had this one kind of circled on their calendars for a while of the horror movies they wanted to see. And yes, exactly. A group of, you know, criminals kidnapping, you know, a 12-year-old for ransom, and happens to be a bloodthirsty vampire. And, Alicia Weir, who people saw in a different kind of role on Netflix, Matilda the Musical, does an incredible job in this film, and she has an amazing supporting cast with, you know, Giancarlo Esposito, Melissa Barrera, and Catherine Newton, who, you know, people seen from other amazing horror movies like the Scream films, and Catherine Newton with Freaky and Elisa Frankenstein. So tons of fun. This is like a popcorn horror film that people can finally go see in theaters starting today.
So it's fun.
That's a lot of fun.
It's
and
not
you know
terrifying.
What? This one, not as scary as others. So, Patricia, okay. I think you could do it.
I always love the faith that people have in me. All right, good stuff. It feels like from this list, this is why I asked if you were doing this to me on purpose. It feels like you're just going alphabetically through all of the horror movies out there. And we're starting with the A's right here, because here's the next one down the pike. This is Arcadian.
There are those who believe they came after the pollution people caused. And they're here to cleanse the planet of the human race. So we'll all become extinct. We have to stay vigilant. Do you understand?
Yeah.
All right.
I'll meet you right here before the sun sets behind that hill.
It was good to see you.
You're late!
Sorry, I lost track of time.
Are we safe?
Yes.
Are we secure?
Yes.
The voice of Nicolas Cage. He can be scary at the best of times. How is this one?
Yeah, so this one came out in theaters last week, but there's full opportunities to see it in Ottawa, CineStar Saint Laurent in the East End, and Landmark Cinemas Canada. You can check out Arcadian Theaters, and it's going to make its way on Shudder for streaming very soon. This one more of a thriller, Patricia, than a horror movie, I would say, post-apocalyptic. If you're a fan of, you know, The Last of Us, A Quiet Place from an MGM Plus, you know, there's some creatures, essentially, that are in this post-apocalyptic world. That Nicolas Cage and his two sons, played by Maxwell Jenkins from Lost in Space on Netflix and Jada Martell from the It films and Knives Out, they basically have to protect their house from these creatures. This one's a lot of fun and really well done, and it's really interesting because it's an independent film, it's an indie film that was just done really, really well, and I had a great time watching it, and like it felt very immersive, like you're with them kind of trying to, you know, get away from all these creatures in the post-apocalyptic world. So this one's Arcadian. I had a great time with this one, and people could still check it in Ottawa in the next couple of weeks in theaters.
There's a lot of post-apocalyptic stuff out there right now, including Civil War, which is making such a huge splash, which obviously is a quite a different movie, but it was interesting. Well, I said I went to see Dune 2 at the theater, so I was like, oh, every movie coming out is post-apocalyptic. And someone said, well, that's because you're seeing Dune 2. So, of course, those are the previews that you get in there. But there's another one as well that's kind of in the horror thriller genre that's out right now. We talked about this last week,
yes.
And Keith, our movie reviewer who was on with us then, said that he would put this down as possibly the best in that genre for 2024, even though we're very early in 2024, and that's Late Night with the Devil. Did you have
yes.
a chance to see that one as well? Because he told me I would like that one.
This movie is the movie that just checks all the boxes. It is scary, it is intriguing, it is unique. You're basically watching a 1970s, you know, broadcast of a late night talk show similar to like Johnny Carson essentially. And it feels like you're watching it, and while you're watching this happen, it's a talk show where, you know, happens to be a live exorcism that happens. So the way they made this movie, Patricia, just with, you know, a low budget film that, you know, has been doing amazing in movie theaters, because, you know, just very quickly, a wide release is 1,000 movie theaters domestically in North America. The big movies, you know, like Abigail and Ghostbusters, average about 3,000 movie theaters, right? So just to make a perspective, so 1,000 is like a small wide release, right? And, you know, it's made over the last couple of weeks in movie theaters, it's going to Shudder today, but it's made, you know, around $10 million in the, you know, box office for a low budget movie, which is incredible considering that. And no, it just goes to show you that this is the genre right now. From a filmmaker perspective, there's ways of making these films low budget, and then there's high reward in the box office. So that's very enticing for people. And it's just an exciting time for innovation and different ways. And it's not just kind of the blood and the gore. It's psychological. There's a lot happening in the genre right now.
Yeah, the horror really does seem to be having a moment. And I guess that's a huge part of it, that it's low budget and a big return. And there's an insatiable appetite out there, it would seem, for that kind of movie.
Absolutely. And, you know, I was just in L.A. because I actually, you know, wrapped up my short film that I produced and I wrote, and it was a horror film.
And how is it doing?
You know, we're in post-production right now, but
nice.
It was really exciting. So,
okay, well,
you know, but that was the genre that I'm just really excited to kind of, you know, dive into, because there's so much kind of possibilities and so many ideas that can happen with it, essentially.
Well, we are definitely looking forward to your review of your movie. We'll have to talk more in depth about that coming up, but best of luck with it. Thank you so much for this today. Appreciate it.
Of course. Have a great weekend. Thank you.
You too. PD Beats, a.k.a. Peter Romiliotis with Popternative. So Abigail, Arcadian, a couple you might want to consider, and then coming out of movie theaters and onto Shudder, I believe, Late Night with the Devil, which apparently everyone is saying is so, so good. 11 o'clock on News Talk 580 CFRA. We're going to get you up to speed on the headlines. We've got more on that Parkdale on-ramp closure. We've got more on potentially paying for parking in Westboro. A lot of newsy stuff coming up. But right after the 11 o'clock news, we're going to pause for a moment, and we're going to talk to a couple of people who did stay up to listen to the new Taylor Swift music last night. Why did they do it? This is Ottawa at Work.
On News Talk 580 CFRA and the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
On News Talk 580 CFRA. All right, a little taste of some new music from Taylor Swift. And there is a whole bunch of new music from Taylor Swift this morning. I know for a lot of you, you're like, oh, Taylor, all we hear about. I beg you to be open-minded, because you will know someone today in your life who is exhausted because they stayed up for the release of the Tortured Poets Department last night. It dropped online at midnight. And then there was a surprise announcement at 2 a.m., not just one album, but two albums. That's a lot of new music. She is incredibly prolific. She is incredibly talented. Whether you love her or do not love her, you have to admit that she is a force right now. And there's a lot of people out there who do love her. And I thought it'd be nice. We've often had a music critic on to talk about the Taylor impact. I thought it'd be nice to talk to a couple of people who were staying up and who do love Taylor's music and get their take on this new music, joined on the line right now by Grace Gibson, a huge Swifty, big fan out of Kingston. Good morning to you, Grace.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing well, thank you. And Ali Leask is here as well, Ottawa Ambassador, T-Swift Dance Party, also a big Swifty. Good morning, Ali.
Good morning.
Here out of Ottawa. So first of all, quickly to you, Ali, how big was a surprise was it that this was actually a double album, more than 30 new songs from Taylor Swift?
Okay, so we Swifties like to say we walk Clownelia Street often because we clown about Easter eggs. And Taylor Swift has been releasing a lot of like little flashes of peace signs, like two fingers up. And then she also released a little animated video that had a clock at 2 a.m. So a lot of Swifties have been speculating a double album drop. We thought it was going to maybe be Reputation Taylor's version, but getting 15 more Tortured Poets tracks was shocking for me in the best way.
Just incredible. Okay, I knew nothing about this 2 a.m. possibility. I fell asleep partway through the first album. Then I woke up to a text from my daughter saying it's a double album after 2. And I stayed up till 4 trying to listen to as much of this music as I could. And I tell you, my brain's a little bit frazzled right now. Grace, did you listen to both albums last night?
We did, yeah. We stayed up, my roommates and I, we stayed up till midnight to listen to the album. We listened to it through. And then when we finished, we started listening to the songs again. And we were like, okay, well, we got to stay up till 2. Something's going to happen. We knew it. And we did. And it was really exciting. We listened to them all at 2.
Love it. Ali, obviously a lot of people are like, Swifties, they're dismissive, but she is the biggest artist going right now. She is absolutely a force. She's an incredibly successful business person as well. What is it that draws you to Taylor Swift?
I've been a fan of her since I was watching Much Music with my dad in 2006, and he pointed to the music video of Tears on My Guitar, and he said, I think you'd like her a lot, and went out and bought me her CD. So she's been in my life since I can like first remember and think back. But I think what's kept me hooked on Taylor Swift is all of her music being so autobiographical and her being nearly exactly 10 years older than me and me being the eldest sibling in my family. She's the big sister I never had. She teaches me the lessons and like telling me what's to come. And something will happen in my life, I'll sit back and think, being like, Taylor Swift taught me this like 8 years ago. Mm. Wow.
I love that. Yeah, she speaks to us and we're all kind of learning from her. I consider myself to be a huge Swiftie, a massive fan, and yet I'm obviously not in the main demographic, but there's something so powerful about a lot of primarily girls and women all banding together at those concerts and just the power of some of the positive messages that she shares, as well as the intimate details of her own life that she puts into those songs, which was certainly in play last night. So, Grace, just quickly your take on kind of the albums overall, and then I'm going to ask you about your favorite song.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I haven't stopped listening to it. I think definitely there were a few songs as soon as I heard them that I knew I would love, and there's other ones that I really want to like go back and listen to because I just know that they're going to be so good the more times I listen to them. We all loved the album last night. It was really exciting to just hear her kind of new music and what new things she had to say.
Okay, Grace, your favorite song in the early going?
My favorite song so far is So Long, London.
All right, we're going to have a little listen here. We talk about autobiographical songs, this one for sure.
Didn't opt in to be your odd man out. I founded the club she's heard great things about. I left all I knew, you left me at the house by the heath.
Some of the reviews of this album, vulnerable but vicious, hauntingly brilliant. You get a taste of that in there because, of course, this is primarily a breakup album, and it's when everything Taylor does ends up being very public, whether she wants it to or not. Her relationship with Joe Alwyn was very private, but then the breakup happened as she was beginning the Eras Tour. There's some references in there to that. But you knew when you saw the name of this song that this was her British boyfriend, and there would be some talk about that. Did you find it beautiful the way she did share about some of the pain she was going through? Grace, sorry.
Yeah, I do. I think it was very like vulnerable the way she talked about her relationships and her experiences, and I think it was just felt like you could relate to her more and kind of see like a deeper level that she hasn't that like you haven't really seen before, and it was really nice to see and be able to relate to and know it's a song that I'm going to be able to scream sing to mm-hmm. soon.
Yeah. As she's maturing as an artist too, I think, which is really cool. Ali, what was your favorite song?
There's so many. I'm still processing the whole double album, but off the core 16 tracks, I would say it's Who's Afraid of Little Old Me.
All right, let's take a listen to that one. I can't remember this one, I don't think, but let's have a listen here.
Is it a wonder I broke? Let's hear one more joke. Then we could all just laugh until I cry. So I leap from the gallows and I levitate down your street. Crash the party like a record scratch as I scream. Who's afraid of little old me?
Oh man, I got a lot more listening to do. I'm going to wear these out. There's so much that we could talk about in terms of her impact and whatnot, and so many people that she's affected, and just such a successful person. But we're going to wrap it up here momentarily. Ali, I know you have a very busy day and lots ahead, so I'm going to let you go. Thank you so much for being here. Grace, I just wanted to quickly ask you, have you ever actually had that moment of seeing Taylor Swift in person, in concert, and the effect that she has when you're in person?
I haven't, no, unfortunately. We tried to get tickets for the Eras Tour, but they went out so fast. But no, I haven't been able to see it, but I've seen it on TV, and it's been amazing.
Yeah, and full disclosure, we've only met a couple of times, but you're actually very good friends with my daughter, Jess. I told her that we wanted to talk to a couple of real Swifties, who's the biggest Taylor fan you know, and she mentioned you, so we reached out. And I know that if Jess had her way, she would have loved for you to be able to come with us when we go to see Taylor in November. Unfortunately, it was her older sister who got the code, so she has been saving that fourth ticket to sell to one of her buddies. She's had a long list of buddies that have been wanting it. But Lynn's really loves her sister, and Jess really loves you, and she is a force. So while this is not a radio contest or a giveaway or anything like that, I'm just passing along this personal message to say that if you would like to purchase that fourth ticket and come with us to Toronto in November to see Taylor, we would be thrilled to have you along with us, Grace.
Oh my God.
And I'm really happy to be able to pass that on for them, because Jess was super excited. But I just need to check the date with you. It's the second Saturday concert. It's November 23rd. Is that day okay for you?
Yes, that's actually my 20th birthday.
Well, your 20th birthday at Taylor. That'll be fun. I'm thrilled to offer that up to you. And we got our hotel booked. We're ready to go. So look forward to that. Thank you, both of you, Grace and Ali, for coming on to talk a little Taylor this morning. Appreciate you both. It's 11:18 on News Talk 580 CFRA. When we come back, we're going to talk about parking and having to pay for parking potentially in Westboro. What is your reaction to that? This is Ottawa at Work.
On the go, take News Talk 580 CFRA Ottawa with you. Download, listen, and learn through the iHeartRadio app. Now back to Ottawa at Work with Patricia Bull.
11:24 on News Talk 580 CFRA. Okay, all the non-Swifties are safe to tune back in. We're done talking about that. We want to talk a little bit about parking, actually, today, a hot button topic in this city. And parking and paid parking in a particular area has been a hot button topic in this city for several years. Talking about free parking in Wellington West and Westboro, I remember almost a decade ago now, there was a recommendation that potentially look at paying with meters to park in those areas. And obviously, as soon as you start to change things up, there's a lot of reaction about how that's going to impact businesses and whatnot. But we have heard from some business owners here in the Byward Market sometimes that say, it's not really fair that you have to pay to come down to the Byward Market to stop for an hour or so and go into one of the stores along Sussex or elsewhere, and you don't have to pay in some of the other very, very busy areas. We know in Westboro in particular, it's often tough to find a parking spot because it's such a popular place to go. So the City of Ottawa is hosting a couple of public drop-in sessions to discuss some final recommendations on paid parking. One of them is going to happen at the Hindenburg Community Center on Monday. The other at the Westboro Masonic Hall. That one is tomorrow at 10 a.m. Leah LaRocque is going to be taking a look at this today and is just starting to dip her toe into the parking waters. Leah, how is it looking so far?
Hi. Well, it's kind of rainy here in Westboro. I'm on Richmond Road right now to kind of situate you. I'm close to the Shoppers and the Clock Tower, and there's pretty much no parking spaces available. And so it's a rainy Friday morning. So that just gives you a sense of just how much people come down here or how maybe little parking there is. So I've talked to a couple of small businesses who say that, you know, one of the draws for people to come to this area is the fact the parking is free. People like coming here, and then it's a draw to support small businesses. So they worry that if you bring in paid parking in this area, that might impact especially small businesses in this area. You know, I actually ran into a couple. They live in Centerpoint, and they came to Westboro. They were tired and they wanted to get out for the day, and they just wanted to do a little bit of shopping. So they came to Westboro. One of the main draws, the fact that they don't have to pay for parking. Whereas you mentioned in your intro, if you go to Preston Street, Elgin Street, Byward Market, you have to pay. So definitely a lot of reaction so far to the idea that parking meters may be coming to Wellington West and Westboro. So far, not a lot of positive reaction.
Okay, it's interesting. I mean, I've thought about it too. I have a place that I go for aesthetics, and they have a couple of locations. One is in the Glebe, and one is in Westboro. And the one in the Glebe, you have to pay at the meter for parking there. So every now and then I'm like, well, I'm going to pick the other one, even though it's a little bit further away, because I know I can probably find a free parking spot. So it does come into people's consideration as they're thinking about that. But I have an interesting text from someone who's a resident there who says, I've been living in Westboro since 1999 and the changes have been phenomenal. As a resident, we've benefited greatly. We will continue to shop. But people who travel here may give it a pass if they have to pay for parking. High rents have been a problem for quite some time and stores are moving out, including Bridgehead and Roots. So I think saying, you know, it'll be great, we'll still continue to come and maybe it'll be easier for us to find a parking spot. But we are a little bit concerned about the businesses who would be impacted if, in fact, you start charging for parking. Does that, you know, just push those numbers down a little bit further in a time when it is pretty tough for small businesses, Leah?
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, from the city's perspective, this area, as you know, and I'm just looking around at a lot of new homes and stuff, so the area itself has grown a lot. There's been a lot of development. You know, in a lot of these spaces, the maximum is 90 minutes. So the city's study also looked at, you know, the fact that people are are parking where they're not supposed to, like, and also they're staying longer than that 90 minutes. So they want to encourage people to take alternative mode. You know, we're going to, you know, the LRT is going to come out this way eventually. There is public transit. So they're trying to kind of encourage that. I've thrown that at a few people who I've spoken to just on the streets here, and they don't really think that's going to make much of a difference. They just think people are, like you said, just going to make a pass.
Yeah,
so,
go to Bayshore or something.
Yeah, go to a mall. And what is that, a mall? Typically large box stores and not the small businesses. So, you know, a draw to come to this area is also the fact that they are small, unique businesses and paid parking. So it'll be interesting to see how this turns out. The city did do a study on this, and they'll present sort of the results. And later today, I'm going to talk to the councillor, Jeff Leeper, about it. We spoke to the BIA, who of course, is against it. So it'll be interesting to see where this heads.
Where it goes and how it all plays out. All right.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So full coverage from Leah LaRocque tonight on CTV Ottawa News at 6. We'll let you go and talk to people in the rain. How much fun is that?
So much fun.
Remind people as this discussion gets underway, there goes Leah LaRocque from CTV, that there are two paid parking public consultations. Again, Hindenburg Community Center. That one is on Monday in the evening, April 22nd. That's 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And at the Westboro Masonic Hall tomorrow, 10 a.m. If you want to check out some of this information in the survey and maybe offer some feedback as well, 10 a.m. to 12 for that one. It's 11:30 on News Talk 580 CFRA. Quick break for the news. Matt Scooby will come chat with us about this rain on the other side. This is Ottawa at Work.
CarPlay or Android Auto through your iHeartRadio app. It's Ottawa at Work with Patricia Bull on News Talk 580 CFRA and the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Rush hour used to be at a certain time. Now it's all the time.
We don't hear the traffic anymore after 25 years. The only thing we hear are the motorcycles down there, and they're bad. We've been waiting for these walls to be replaced because these walls aren't very effective for the sound. We want to have the sound barriers on the ramp also. That's more important than up there for us.
That is the voice of a couple of residents, Jim McHugh, who you heard there, who are concerned about the situation near the Parkdale on-ramp, which is going to be shut down for much of the summer. More concern for him about what the situation has been over the years and hearing that noise as cars line up on Parkdale for people who live right there. I can only imagine how bad that has been. They're right there next to the Queensway.
20 years he has like lived right beside the eastbound on-ramp for Parkdale, and it's only gotten busier. And like I talked about it briefly last night, Patricia, too, that, you know, I used to live just on the other side of the highway. Like I lived at Sims. So if you get off, if you're going westbound on the Queensway, you get off at Parkdale and you turn right, it's the very first street that you can turn right onto. So we were pretty close. We were pretty good for the fact we didn't really hear the cars. We were far enough away that it didn't really bother us a whole lot. You heard like the motorcycles and stuff. You hear it every now and then. It was always a pain in the butt trying to get off of our street and onto Parkdale.
Right.
And anybody that lives in that area know that it is just very poorly designed. But there are also, you know, at the other end of Parkdale at Carling, you have the Civic Hospital. You go down to the other end. You're on Wellington Street West, and then you're going down towards now the Parkway 2 along the Ottawa River as well. And so it's just, the road is not big enough to accommodate all of the traffic regularly, let alone for the fact now that the on-ramp to the eastbound lanes is going to be closed all summer, not just for a couple of weeks, like the off-ramp coming off of it for a couple of weeks. Now it's literally from next weekend, April 28th, all the way until the end of August.
Yeah. Matt Scooby is here, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
I mean, it's what happens when you build a highway across the city after the city is already built and growing and you're going right through some older residential neighborhoods. There must be some little pockets in Toronto that are very similar to that. But that's certainly the one that I think of where it's sort of wild just how much it is right in their backyard. Some people are experiencing that now as LRT encroaches and it gets a lot closer to the homes that they are in and whatnot. So hopefully this soundproofing will be much better going forward. But in the meantime, it's going to be an interesting summer for driving. And people talking about that very long stretch on the Queensway now from sort of Carling in terms of an eastbound on-ramp, I guess.
You don't have any right
to Metcalf.
To get on, you can now get on at Carling and then you can get on at Metcalf. And that's it. So think about how many residential areas too are right along that, you know, along Carling, the Civic, you know, have to go all the way down. Some people, I'm sure, will go all the way down to Bronson. And otherwise, but you can't even get on a Bronson right now, right? Because some of the construction that's happening right now, you can't get on eastbound right there. So you got to go all the way to Metcalf. It is going to be not fun. Not a fun summer if you're trying to go east if you live in those neighborhoods.
You know what's made it so much easier in the last couple of years? Like imagine if you're trying to navigate this without any GPS and you're just always going to those entrances or intersections that you have always gone to and you know work and there's no one to navigate you around. It's so much more convenient now that you have a system that's actually
having
aware
ways
of where some of those closures are. Jamie texting in, speaking of Queensway sound barriers, they're finally putting up sound barriers along the north side of the highway through Centertown after 60 years without one. Running a freeway through these existing neighborhoods was a terrible idea.
So part of the issue with this, you know, I think that, you know, for me, I've lived in the city for 10 years and trying to figure out some of the things. And geographically, you know, you hear the mayor say it, you hear other politicians say it. We geographically, we are such a huge city. But I think keep in mind, amalgamation that happened back in the early 2000s, if I'm correct, I don't exactly remember when.
Was it late 90s, early 2000s,
whenever amalgamation happened. I think that the thing to keep in mind is the fact that it used to be multiple different cities slash towns.
2001,
that's what I thought. So, you know, we're 20 plus years into amalgamation. Slowly the pockets in between the different parts of Barrhaven, of Nepean, of Kanata, of Orleans, that all used to be different cities and had their own councils and planning and everything. Nothing was coordinated. And so, you know, trying to accommodate all of that now, I think that's why it feels so many things in this city are disorganized, right? They just built the highway because that was convenient at the time. But now it's like as the city is building out and trying to fill in some of these spots at different points, it still feels like a mess. And also because we're coming more populated, right? We finally hit the 1 million population mark. And it's just, you know, you can't go and change where a highway is.
Yeah,
can't go and change the only main thoroughfare for the city that runs through it other than expanding it now, which is what the city is trying to do.
And that's the thing. It is the one main thoroughfare east-west. And Jamie's saying there hasn't been an eastbound on-ramp at Bronson for over 50 years. I'm trying to picture that. But in my lifetime, I certainly remember a time when the Queensway was only busy during rush hour, which is no longer the case. Certainly with all the construction and whatnot, there's pressure points. But you can get on there almost any time of the day, sometimes on the weekend too, and slow down to a complete crawl at certain points on that Queensway.
I was thinking about Rochester. I was thinking about Rochester eastbound on-ramp, not Bronson. My bad. I was always going all the way further.
I'm trying to picture, because I get on Rochester to go westbound.
Westbound, that they've redone it.
Yeah.
But I believe that there used to be another one there. So maybe I'm wrong.
It's hard to picture when you're...
I know. When you're sitting here and I'm not driving in my car.
Yeah, absolutely. And you'll be doing it today, maybe in some showers. We saw people driving along in the rain yesterday. It was a little bit more intense in terms of rain yesterday, what we got. A very wet day. But today is also reasonably gray. Some light rain coming down out there right now and 10 degrees. This isn't going to last all through the weekend, though, Matt.
No, this is about until dinner time tonight, Patricia, is what it looks like right now. And it's been spotty. It hasn't been steady rain like we saw, like you mentioned, over the course of the day yesterday. We're in for a bit of some cooler temperatures here for the weekend. I say cooler. However, we're still seasonal. 10 degrees tomorrow, 11 degrees on Sunday.
Is that where we should be right now?
Yeah, we should be 11 degrees, 12 degrees. Mm-hmm. That's a seasonal high, even though it doesn't, you know, after we've been spoiled with so much warm weather.
I feel like we should be 16 degrees.
Over the course 17. Of the last few months, and then a chilly start to next week. So we're still kind of going to be all over the map temperature-wise, but that's also April. That's also going to happen. But we might see an odd scattered shower or two this weekend, but for the most part, it's going to be, you know, a mix of sun and cloud throughout.
We have a pair of sevens on the board for next week in terms of highs, so a little below seasonal.
Mm-hmm.
Then May, I'm sure, will be beautiful. May's my month. Holding out for May.
It is your month. It's your birthday month.
It is. Birthday month, Mother's Day month, all
true.
Of that. Start saving. 11:45.
That's a good idea. Right.
On News Talk 580 CFRA. Thanks to Matt Scooby. We'll be back to wrap up the show right after this. This is Ottawa at Work.